Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. So here I am on the walls of Derry in Northern Ireland. So these walls are completely intact. I think I'm correct in saying it's the only city in Ireland or town in Ireland which got the walls completely intact. Very few in Great Britain do either. But these ones were only finished in about 1619. So at some points they're 10 meters wide. But well, you could easily have two horse-drawn wagons go abreast. Was that the idea? I mean, partly it's also so that you know, the cannonballs wouldn't break through, and you can see the houses just over there, but the earth has subsided. It would have been kind of much higher up the surrounding countryside. You can't really tell from this angle just how tall it was, so don't want to talk too much about the history of the city. I've already done that elsewhere, but yeah, it was Londonderry at the time, historically Derry, and since the 1980s a high majority of people in the city have called it Derry, as do I. Anyhow, so there was more than one siege of Derry, but the famous one is not the 1649 one, is the 1689 one. So it's all to do with James II being overthrown by his son-in-law and nephew, William of Orange. How could William of Orange be his son-in-law and nephew? That's because William of Orange married his first cousin. Anyhow, so William of Orange came over from the Netherlands to Torbay, in southern England, and eventually his father-in-law stroke uncle James II fled to France. He was good friends with Louis XIV and signed the Treaty of Dover with him earlier. James II, being a Roman Catholic ruling over mostly Protestant realms, Scotland and England, and indeed Wales, that's a principality, but Ireland obviously had a Catholic majority. The Protestants concentrated in the northeast. We're only about 30% of the population at the time, but in the northeast, much higher than that, and the city of Derry, more or less everybody at the time, certainly within the diamond, within the walled city. So here we are, the walled city, give you some idea what it's like. So he fled in November 1688. They chose not to stop him because then they could say he's abdicated the throne. We haven't overthrown him. So then he sent an order earlier to get rid of the mostly Protestant garrison here, Lord Tyrconnell. Good Catholic troops come in, but some of his units were mostly Protestant because there was the Irish army at the time. Anyway, 7th of December 1688, that's when the 13 apprentice boys, they refused to let them in and they slammed the gates. The governor of the city, Robert Lundy, a Scotsman, had been inclined to obey them. Now, I suppose it doesn't suit unionists and loyalists to remember that in those days, Protestants were the rebels and Catholics, by and large, were loyalists insofar as they were obeying the King of Ireland, who was James II. Now, the Parliament of England and Wales, they recognised William of Orange and Mary as joint sovereigns. The Scots Parliament soon afterwards, Irish Parliament, that didn't happen at that time. So certainly James II was the lawful sovereign in this realm on this island, as was. Anyway, so those troops didn't get in, and now James II had fled to France. Then he came with some French troops to land at Kinsale, County Cork, and work his way up to Derry. By the way, Derry was the biggest city in Ulster back then. Belfast was a fishing village in those days. So Robert Lundy, the Scots governor, later on he was seen as feeble, as a traitor. It's just used as a slur by loyalists of the day, calling someone a Lundy. But actually, he was helpful in the defence of the city because he purchased a lot of armaments and made sure that the defences were repaired, and that actually proved to be crucial in saving the city later on, if you indeed regard it as saving from his side. So there were Scots people who were then overwhelmingly Presbyterian, as the Presbyterian Church is really an outgrowth of the Church of Scotland, and there were, Anglicans as in members of the Church of Ireland, which is really a carbon copy of the Church of England. Anyway, they're mostly 17th century immigrants from Scotland, England, Wales, even the Isle of Man. And obviously there was some intermarriage. It's not the case that Catholics and Protestants never married each other. And the word Protestant usually meant member of the Church of Ireland, not Presbyterian, not Baptist. Methodist Church didn't even exist back then. Anyhow, so there was a six-month interlude between slamming the gates in the face of the troops sent by James II, and the siege actually commencing. The Earl of Antrim, who was a Catholic, he and him and his Red Shanks, his Scots Catholic soldiers, they weren't allowed to come into the city. Anyway, James II himself came to Derry. He'd sent emissaries before saying to negotiate, are you willing to lay down your arms so nobody gets killed? But they asked for 2 days to ponder it. They decided not to. And Robert Lundy felt the city was indefensible, despite his best efforts to render it more defensible, and he was minded to abandon it, to sail to Scotland. Then, because he wanted to give up the city, he was regarded as a traitor. He later fled in disguise, because people might have lynched him. Anyway, so the city was invested that June 1689. Probably crucially for the defenders, because obviously in the summer you don't need as much food. You don't need such a big calorific intake because it's warm. Moreover, you don't need so much coal or firewood, because you've got to remember the cruciality of that in the bitter winter in those days. So the siege lasted 105 days. They said of the 8,000 people in the city, about 4,000 died. George Walker was the chaplain of the city. He's well remembered. William Baker, others, and so on. And so there is Apprentice Boys Hall, as in its the name is because of those 13 apprentice boys who had been very young, maybe mid-teens. They're the ones who took matters in their own hands, and they slammed the city gates. Okay, so James II, he'd come near the walls of Derry and asked them to surrender. The cannon, Roaring Meg, had fired at them, but not killed him, killed one of his retainers. So that was it. So the city of Derry had asked for relief. So the government of England and Wales were sending ships. But the Jacobites, as in support of James II, they had built a boom across the River Foyle to try and make passage impossible to any vessel. And then it was a local man, Browning. Was it William Browning? He was in command of a ship called Mountjoy, named in honour of an earlier Lord Deputy of Ireland. Ironically, the Lord Mountjoy of those days was a Jacobite, whereas HMS Mountjoy was a Williamite ship. So Browning, I think I've got his name right, a local man, is it William Browning? He's the one who then rammed the boom across the River Foyle. There have been various other Royal Naval ships that hadn't been willing to do it, because, of course, a sea captain's primary duty is to keep his vessel afloat. And even if one manages to lift the siege, if your ship sinks, you're a failure. But he was willing to take the risk, and he did. But he somehow got killed in the effort, presumably got shot or something. Anyway, so they smashed the boom, and then the Jacobites saw that investing in the city was pointless because it's being relieved by sea. Okay, they were getting fresh supplies, more troops to reinforce them. They weren't going to run out of, gunpowder, cannonballs, whatever the rest of it. So they lifted the siege, they retreated. So here I am looking down into the bogside, that's area. So as in, it really was a marshy area. That's the overwhelmingly Catholic area of the city. And then beyond those hills is Donegal. Okay, you see the football stadium, city cemetery, where John Hume is buried, a very honorable man. Martin McGuinness, a thoroughly evil British criminal. He wouldn't like to be called British, which is why I'm calling him that. And so on. Okay, so, and I was last here in 1999. I'm glad the walls have been cleaned up. There was graffiti, and they're in a good state of repair. So just show you what it's like, how high up it was. So really the idea was, as a general would say, to hunger them out. Maybe not to take it by storm, but it was not far off succeeding. They say being reduced to eating cats and dogs. And when you're very bored and very nervous, might make you even hungrier. So here we are. Okay, and there was a memorial to George Walker, that chap who was blown up by the IRA in 1973. So I'll continue my way. And then there was that song, that loyalist song. I try and quote it from memory. The time has scarce gone round, boys, 300 years ago, since rebels on our Derry's walls their faces dare not show. When James came up to Bishop's Gate, with heart and hand we forced them to retreat. The blood did flow in crimson through many a winter's night. They knew the Lord was on their side. He kept them in his sight. What does it go? How else does it go? I'm skipping bits, but kind seventh heaven sent her aid. God bless the hand that broke the boom and saved the apprentice boys. So come when duty calls, fight and don't surrender. I'm mangling it, yeah, with heart and hand. And whatever it is, that's it. So you get the idea. But actually, it was siege mostly through the summer, not through the winter. People are possibly confusing with a 1649 siege. That's another story, to do with the English Civil War and that contagion spread here to Ireland as well as to North Britain. So leaving some of these cannon, and no, they don't actually fire over there. So anyway, you get an idea of how wide the walls are in places. Now, how about this higher wall in here? Methinks it doesn't date from the 17th century. What's behind there, a school or something? Okay. So, and there were various gates. There's Bishop's Gate, and I can't remember the other, which are the other gates. And even during the Troubles from 1969 to about 1998, these were used by the army, a little place. Sangers also control the influx and efflux, or ingress and egress from the diamond and so forth. Okay, so that's why the Siege of Derry is so seminal, but they say that then these Ulster Protestants were never quite sure how much they could rely on Great Britain to save them, because the Scotsman Lundy had almost let them down, because English sailors had been very reluctant to risk smashing the boom across the river Foyle. But eventually it was a local man who'd done so and died doing it. And then Thomas Babington Macaulay, in the History of England, wrote about it, saying how, you know, he couldn't have wished for a better death, because he died saving his native city and was remembered there with the very greatest of honour. So that these various bastions where they'd have cannon, the point is, because then you could move them from place to place and fire in different directions, okay? And the cannon, they really were balls, they weren't shells, and they used to bounce. Could be metal, could be stone. Shells exploded on impact, only come much later in the mid-19th century. The besiegers try and stay out of cannonball range. Apparently there's a sally port so that they could flee the defenders or go out and attack the enemy. I don't know if it was, because the risk about that is, what if the enemy find out where the sally port is and the besiegers can come in? So the defenders won that time, but you know, had the siege lasted much longer, a week, certainly a month, it would have been all over. How would that have changed history? Had the Jacobites won in Derry, had a firmer foothold in Ireland, would the Battle of Boyne been fought in on the 1st of July, not the 12th? 1690 is debatable. And I've simplified a lot, because there's a lot of fighting in Ireland through 1689. Goodness. So, how things are misremembered. Okay, so I'm on Bishop's Gate. That's Bishop Street without, over there. And this away is Bishop Street within, as in inside the diamond. Okay, so a lot of towns at a diamond is in a roughly diamond-shaped area surrounded by walls. Okay, so, and on we go. So yeah, it's a very good state of repair, I'm pleased to say. Now, went to the Apprentice Boys Hall, speaking to the Apprentice Boys of Derry. And of course, one can only become a full member of the Apprentice Boys if one is sworn in within the walls of Derry. So that's why Derry is so important to Loyalist and Unionist memory, even though the Unionist community is a small minority in the city, not really more than 20%. And there's this fountain area on west of the Foyle, where there's a little Unionist enclave, but the Unionists, when the city overwhelmingly lived on the water side, which is the east bank of the Foyle. Might be a minority even there, actually. So there we go. Anyway, here is St. Columba's Cathedral, the Church of Ireland one, which is not open through the day. Us Catholics being generous-spirited, our churches and cathedrals are open all hours, well, not quite overnight, people to go in and say a private prayer. Seems to be Protestant ones are usually locked up. I'm glad the stone is very clean. So, wow, looking very sound. And then we'll have to find out how old that one is. So another bastion here. You see the cannon. Roaring Meg was the famous big cannon. So, yeah, have to breech load it and it kicks back and so on. It's only the late 19th century the French invented this hydraulic system, as in based on water syringes, that took most of the impact. The gun didn't jump back every time it was fired. It was a danger to those firing it. It had to be well out of the way so it wouldn't be killed by it. And the advantage of the hydraulic system is you could fire and fire and fire at the same point, just as fast as you could load it. Because these sort of cannon, they kicked back, and then they had to load it, had to aim it again. So they couldn't fire that fast. You know, it took like at least a minute between each cannonball. And so the closing of the gate, 7th of December, I think it's the Sunday close to 7th of December, that's when the Apprentice Boys celebrate. They fire one cannonball. I think it's a blank round or whatever. And then after a moment, they fire three more, as in 13 Apprentice Boys. And so it goes on. So Apprentice Boys were usually aged sort of 14 to 21, spend 7 years apprentice to whatever trade, as a butcher, baker, candlestick maker, mercer, skinner, saddler, jeweler, carpenter, whatever it might be, a cordwainer, mercer, and such like, and then produce the masterpiece after 7 years and be judged to be good enough to be a master of whatever trade it was, a full member of whichever guild it was. Because remember, it was those livery companies in London, you know, the Skinner's Company, the Mercer's Company, the Haberdasher's Company, and so forth. They're the ones who founded Londonderry. Obviously, City Derry been here since the mid-6th century AD. Not quite as a city, but there was some monastery. It's founded by St. Columba, but to expand it and bring over those English immigrants, Scots, Welsh, and whatever it was, Manx people. Okay, so yeah, that's the walled city in there, okay? So some of the finer looking 19th century houses, the bogside's almost all 20th century housing. So yeah, it's very well preserved and repaired now. And obviously some of the IRA in the 1970s and 80s were doing their damnedest to destroy this city, complaining about the unemployment that they deliberately caused. I know there's some unemployment beforehand, but it made it an awful lot worse. Strabane, not far away from here, in County Tyrone, had the unenviable distinction of being the town with the highest unemployment in the United Kingdom. I know people have put up these unofficial signs, street signs in the Irish language as well. And look here, this one, I mean, it's not a street sign. Chach Niav Yoga Farkiana An Kini Kolegna Gokoder. Anyway, the house of Saint whoever it is, I can read that much. I'm not a Gael Gord, as you may have deduced. So you can see it doesn't take very long to do more or less the circumference of the walls of Derry. Where am I going to get up there? I hope it's not too big to upload. And this street, Artillery Street, perhaps an allusion to the Siege of Derry all those centuries ago. And we're crossing over Ferry Quay Gate. Ferry Quay, because the Doyle is over there. We're schooled by Dun Stores. Sarah Ferry crossed the River Doyle, River Foyle, sorry. There was no bridge across the Foyle at Derry till the late 18th century when Earl Harvey, who was then the Anglican Bishop of Derry, helped to have it built. And so when they wanted to go to Dublin, they used to stay on this side of the Foyle and cross at a bridge much further south, as Lifford in County Donegal. But then once that bridge was built, they went via Strabane on the road all the way to Dublin town. Okay, so another bastion then, and coming down towards the River Foyle. All right, so I'm not sure I can keep going ad-libbing about the Siege of Derry. I'd like to know more about it. So Richard Hamilton was one of the Williamite commanders, and he was a Catholic. It's not as clear-cut as people pretend. There were Catholic Williamites, just as there were Protestant Jacobites, as in members of the Church of Ireland, or even Presbyterians in Scotland who supported King James II, saying, even if it's not my religious denomination, nevertheless, he is the rightful king, and so we must be loyal to him. Yeah, another thing is we don't want the chaos engendered in the 1640s. Certainly the upper class, they didn't want the levellers and the diggers around anymore. Okay, so I see how the city has come on and people have invested since the security forces won their victory in the late 90s, defeated terrorism, saved democracy, liberty, justice and human rights. And that's why the city can prosper now within the United Kingdom. And obviously there's a possibility that Northern Ireland will vote to join the Republic of Ireland, and that wouldn't be such a bad thing. Obviously, best thing would be if we dissolved the Republic and we joined the UK again, but I don't bate my breath for that one. Anyway, down towards the river. I thought I wanted to complete everything, but maybe I can't. Yeah, and then look at this huge cinema multiplex. So getting tourists these days, known for its music, the undertones, Phil Coulter as well, the town I loved so well. He wrote about this place. Somewhere in West Cork, I say, the town I loathed so well. So, yeah, that is Derry, stroke Londonderry, the maiden city, as it was never entered. Okay, so both sieges failed. And after, obviously, 1649, they had to repair these are quite a bit. I do remember seeing some graffiti in 1998 saying Trimble Lundy, Irvine Lundy, as in David Trimble, who was then leader of the Ulster Unionist Party, or It was an allusion to David Irvine, leader of Progressive Unionist Party, as the UVF's political face, because they approved of the Good Friday Agreement and felt that it was selling out unionism and loyalism. But now everybody, just about everybody, accepts the Good Friday Agreement, and that's definitely a step forward, as do I. Life is much, much better. Obviously, I remember the troubles as a child, as a teenager, and there was an imbecilic part of me thought it was faintly exciting. But I now realise peace is far, far better, and obviously I realise I wasn't in the conflict zone. I visited just a couple of times during it. Not fun at all, just terrifying, tedious, dispiriting. Far, far rather live in peace. And I know some things are not ideal and things were agreed to that I find unpalatable, but nevertheless, in the round, it's preferable to the situation beforehand. Okay, so there we are. Like I said, well, some of it fairly handsome Victorian architecture. Everything historic really is within the walled city, within the diamond, as it were, apart from the Guildhall. But the Guildhall's not that old. I think the current Guildhall's about 1890, but largely rebuilt in 1912 after the 1908 fire. Remember, there was a youth hostel years ago in 1999 who wasn't here, a pub called Henry Joy. And look, some blue plaques here to Joyce Carey, the novelist, okay, 1888 to 1957. Okay, we're passing over Shipkey Street, which is the Shipkey Street, and there's a Shipkey Gate. So there's Shipkey Street we're about to see. There you go. So quite tall in the middle. It's built round a hill, sensibly enough. And over there, a protest for Palestine. You see the flags down there near the foil. And you see the Guildhall, okay? Which most places called the City Hall. I read War in an Irish Town by Eamon McCann. I read The Volunteer, some IRA white man's memoir, but talking about how disgruntled Republicans occupied this place, and one guy sat in the Lord Mayor's chair and called himself the first citizen and so on. They had this Sorbonne-inspired belief in, what was it, spontaneity, yeah. No enemies on the left, a certain naivete. Okay, so I've almost come full circle. Presuming all these cannon are original. I wonder if the woodwork is. I have my doubts. The Tower Museum. I've got to get into the Tower Museum later on. Okay. And a plaque to C-O-L-H-O-U-N. Cahoon, not Colhoun. See what I mean by the woodwork around the wheels of these things? And that's got to be earlier 20th century. What do you think, that red brick thing? So we're coming almost around to where I started, and it's taken me almost 23 minutes. And the street there called Magazine Street, as in where they stored their gunpowder. They had to keep their powder dry. If it was wet, it wouldn't fire. So that was one of the tricks of attackers, that they weren't really reliant on firearms, attack in the rain. The other side will soon get their gunpowder wet and won't be able to fire, because of course it's until the early 19th century they were firing musket balls. Bullets only came later. Rifle came out spinning, making them go straighter and further and faster. It's like spin passing in rugger. Okay, so almost come full circle and going up the hill a little bit. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for watching my video. And make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal with the greatest possible liberality. The Siege of Derry being 1689, why not donate £1,689 sterling? I will accept euros as well. So anyway, that's enough from Londonderry, stroke Derry, stroke city, the maiden city as they call it, here in County Londonderry, Northern Ireland. And Foyle Books, as in the river that bisects the city. Historically, the river was only considered to be on the west bank of the Foyle. In the 20th century, it was considered to be the east bank as well, the waterside. And then went something like 14 miles into the countryside in the 1960s. But people accused the unionist-dominated corporationized sitting council of gerrymandering, as in drawing the boundaries to maximize partisan advantage. The sort of thing the Republican Party is accused of doing so in the United States. And look, a reference to the Undertones, Teenage Kicks Are Hard to Beat, founded here in the 1970s, known best for that 1978 hit, but they broke up in 1983. I can't remember the names of them. Anyway, so here we are, having come all the way around. We're walking not too fast. You see how big it is. Okay, thank you, everybody, and goodbye.